السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. This Saturday morning, a very cold and a wet Saturday morning it is. Rather chilly this weekend, and that's how it is. From a few beautiful hot days that we had, suddenly it's just extremely, extremely cold now. Well, it's time for the Screaming Reels program on Radio Islam International, and today, inshallah, we'll be joined on the line by Brother Ali Al-Mangli, and thereafter, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Brother Rukman Mia, the sponsor of the program. And not to forget, a bit later in the program, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Brother Farooq Hassan. We know, I think it was last weekend that they were out on a trail, and they in fact he was out on two trails, if I'm not mistaken. And thereafter we'll speak to him and some of the guys that were out with them on the trail. Something interesting to hear from the guys first hand, what they experience and what they've seen out in the jungle, in the bush, subhanAllah, all the qudra and the wonderful creation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, inshallah, after the break, that is what our topic of discussion will be for today. 011-854-1548 is the number to dial. The lines are open all the time on the program. We would like you, the listeners, to share with us your wonderful incidents that you had, whether it was fishing, outdoors, whatever it may be. That is 011-854-1548.
Once again, Mulana Timur will be undertaking a trip to Rajasthan for Qurbani. Many people there live well below the poverty line and only eat meat on the days of Eid al-Adha. Support this cause at 875 for 7 shares or 125 per share. Contact Mulana Timur or Mulana Sajjad or Mulana Hamad on 011-852-6324 or 8538 or 8584 or 072-299-268. All slaughtering will be supervised by Mulana Timur. Visit www.operationqurbani.org.za.
And Save's gigantic annual sale is now on. Fashion fabrics in prints and plains from just 10 rands per meter. Abaya fabrics, men's duffa fabrics, now less 20%. Evening wear fabrics up to 70% off. There's only one fabric sale. It's the Pay and Save sale at 5 Pelican Avenue, Lanesia. Telephone number 011-852-4910. Pay and Save. Usually unusual fabrics. Sale ends 12th of September.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center Qurbani 2015. A-grade animals available from 1,500. You may slaughter with us for your own consumption or donate the meat for distribution. We distribute meat parcels to poor and indigenous Muslims at various of our centers across Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. All proceeds will go to upgrade the Wheeler's Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Banking details as follows. Standard Bank account number 202-566-889. Branch 015-137. Reference Qurbani. For more information, call 011-854-9510 or visit us at the Trade Route Mall shop number L31 next to Celsi.
The world sure has changed. Everything nowadays seems to be new and improved. Products are updated before they're old enough to be old. Then you get the classics that keep getting it right time after time, because nothing beats an original. Like Sunshine D Margarine and Spreads. High in vitamin D, Sunshine D has been trusted by generations of families in South Africa to deliver that smooth, great taste to celebrate those special occasions, big and small. Now who would want to change that?
Anytime is Shalela time with Sunshine D.
Do you want super healthy bowel movements? Do you want a natural digestive aid that helps prevent digestive problems? Of course you do. So get yourself an Easy Squat Stool now. The Easy Squat Stool can be used with any modern toilet to get all the benefits of squatting. Avoid discomfort and maintain a healthy digestive system by using the Easy Squat Stool. Ideal for young and old. Use the Easy Squat Stool and say hello to a healthier digestive system. Visit your local pharmacy or Islamic store or call 011-784-2822
or 072-973-1763.
For online inquiries, go to www.ckssbiomedical.com.
Bob's Livestock, the livestock dealers, Kurpani 2015. Sheep, goats and cattle available at affordable prices. Limited stocks, cleaning, storage and slicing facilities available. We also distribute on your behalf. Bob's Farm in Abattoir now invites you to view our new and upgraded abattoir facilities. We are situated opposite Roshni. Bob's Farm, the livestock dealers for quality livestock throughout the year. Contact Riaz Asmal, 016-590-1223.
Himmati da'wati wal-nabi qudwati wal-huda shir'ati wal-tuqa wal-dati himmati da'wati wal-nabi qudwati wal-huda shir'ati wal-tuqa wal-dati himmati da'wati.
Streaming reels on Radio Islam, casting you into the exciting world of fishing. Streaming reels is sponsored by Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Call us at Johannesburg on 011-493-1848 and Fourways on 011-465-2937.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program. And on the line with us, we have Adil Mangli. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Sajad Timol and to all our wonderful listeners. Unfortunately, I couldn't come to the studio this morning. If you look out of the window, you can see the reason why. Looks like the weather can't decide whether it still wants to be winter or whether it wants to be summer.
Okay, so I know that this weather is definitely one reason, right? The weather is definitely one reason for you not coming. And the other reason, what's happening, functions last night, you're going to attending, and then I just heard that you came out first. And
Hey, who's telling you all of these things?
Cameras on you all the time, are
they? I'm getting worried now. No, last night, Alumni at Amit Timol Secondary, they had the district finals of the National Teacher Awards. That's for this area. And I was actually nominated in a category for ICT Enhanced Teaching and Learning, which means Information and Communication Technology. You know, teaching with laptop and projector and tablets, etc. And Alhamdulillah, in that category, through the fazl and karam and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was placed in the first position. So now I will be going to the Gauteng competition where I will be representing the province, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Okay, Adil, let's talk some fishing for now. How's the weather this weekend, brother?
Don't talk. Last week, it's amazing. Last week was such a different scenario, and then suddenly, I think about Wednesday, things started to change, and yesterday afternoon really felt like winter again. I mean, the heaters were out, and the blankets, and, you know, I even took out my big jacket that I was wearing during winter time. So, I don't know. This weekend, I think lots of people are going to just probably stay at home.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, let's hear from Luqman.
Expert.
What? Yeah, you know, he's with us. Umran Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Luqman?
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum, Adil, and to all the listeners as well.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Luqman, I think that the first question that everybody is going to ask is, what does this sort of weather do to your fishing? Because, I mean, up to now, your weather has been exceptionally good. Fishing has just been on the high all the time. and then suddenly you get rain and cold weather like this?
Well, there's only one thing that you do in this weather, is stay at home. I mean, unless you are a real diehard fisherman, which there are a few people, that they don't care whether it's wind, hail, or rain, whatever, they'll just carry on and persist. But, you know, nowadays things are expensive, even traveling has become expensive. So you'd rather save that money that you are going to spend for a better weekend. Because fishing will be tough, especially when it comes to your bass, your carp, your kelp, or whatever. They're very sensitive to temperature drops. And fishing will be tough. And besides being tough, I mean, it's just not pleasant fishing in weather like this.
Yeah, there's a lot
of... No, but In terms of your fishing, Luqman, overall now what happens for future for the coming week? Say it does warm up by Monday, Tuesday. By the weekend, do things get back to normal, or does the whole process again take a bit longer to get back to normal?
No, fish generally switch on again very quickly, because obviously they don't stop feeding altogether. It's just they eat a bit less. They're not as active they are because temperature may drop a little, but you know, now we talk mainly of water temperature, it may drop 1 or 2 degrees, but you don't stop eating at all. So the moment that weather improves or it starts getting, straight away they'll start fishing. So for example, if you on a dam on Monday morning and it happens to be full sunshine and clear skies again, you're probably going to have one of the best fishing days of your life. Fish are like that. Like I say, they turn on off very quickly. So you have to be just at the right place at the right time, and you can catch plenty of fish.
But once, say somebody decides to go out on a weekend, something similar to this, what sort of preparation should they be doing?
It depends again, first of all, what species, you know, because fishing is not just trying for one type of species. So obviously, it's going to depend on what species of fish the person is targeting. But before, I mean, you decide, you know, you need to know where you're going, the terrain you're going to, is it going to be muddy, is it going to be rocky, what type of area you're going to. Then first of all, take your necessary, all your waterproof jackets, your raincoats, your decent tent if you're going to be camping out, or decent gazebo if you're going to be sitting on the side for carp. Make sure you got plenty of dry firewood available just to keep you warm. If, for example, we're targeting carp, then you also need to make sure that there's no lightning and everything around, because, you know, graphite rods, when it comes to bass, carp, or even yellowfish nowadays, graphite is the best conductor of electricity. So you take your precaution, first of all, to see there's no lightning around. If there isn't lightning, like it seems in the Joburg area, it's just this nice soft rain with no thunder, storms or anything, then you can fish quite comfortably, but make sure you're warm, dressed nicely, hot cup of coffee nearby, and sit and wait and hope that the fish are going to bite.
I think extremely important advices there. Especially with regards to the preparation, you know, when going out in a weather like this here. Luqman, in terms of the fishing report currently, or for the last weekend or in the week, any news, any monsters come out?
Like Marana said, you know, up to this weekend, the fishing was great, and everywhere, whether you're talking, I mean, big tiger fish and bream were being caught, all, you know, in a Zambezi River system. You've got bass that are big bears still caught all over the show. You know, every day if you open the internet and watch Facebook pages, and daily people are posting photos of big bears caught almost everywhere around the country. There was a competition at Albert Falls. I think it was a fish over 5 kilo that won the competition.
Sure.
And there were quite a few fish caught between the 3 and 4 kilo mark. So that alone tells you that the fishing is good. As far as saltwater is fishing, again, there's some good reports coming in. Guys are starting to catch decent fish off the coast. of the boats, we had one of the charter operators in a shop the other day. They're still catching lots of bottom. The game fish haven't started biting a lot. They prefer the warmer weather, warmer waters. You'll find close to November, December, January is when the game fish would start. So, but they're still catching some decent bottom fish having caught.
Mm-hmm.
And then carp also, we've had some guys catching some decent carp over the last week.
Lukman, when you talk about catching bottoms, you know, I was just thinking that in St. Lucia, they don't allow bottom fishing anymore. I think they were talking about something about it damaging the reef and that. So the areas that you're talking about are sort of like more south coast and stuff.
South coast and north and central Durban, off central Durban itself. That's
yeah.
Where the operator runs from. So it is in that area that they're catching some decent fish.
Yeah, last week we were speaking to Farad, who was a boat operator there as well, and he was saying the same thing, that the top water fish still haven't come on the bite as yet.
Like you mentioned, they prefer the warmer water.
Yeah. And I suppose if the guy is not prepared to go fishing, then maybe they can take a turn to Solis Angler's Corner.
Most definitely, we'll be waiting for them with open arms, for them to come restock for those that fished last week and depleted some of their stocks. Definitely, we'll be waiting for them. And at the same time, when you're at home, it's again another chance to sort your tackle out, get your tackle cleaned up, check your hooks, check your traces, check your reels, your rods. Maybe reels need to be re-spooled with line. It's always, if you haven't changed your line from last year, it's a good thing, it's a good chance to, you know, put new line onto your reel, just check that everything is in order, because if the water, the weather does warm up next week, then like I say, fishermen will be in for a good week of fishing. You know, a lot of the older people, and still to some extent, people wait for the first rain.
Yeah.
Because they believe that fish bite better after the first rain. We don't know whether it's just old wives' tales or fishermen's tales or whatever, but some people believe like that only after the first rains you should fish. And if it is so, then yeah, the first rains are here, alhamdulillah, and we should make so much shukr that Allah has blessed us with this special ni'mah and blessing of rain. Because at the end of the day, without rain, you know, we got no water. Without water, we can't fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to continuously make dua that Allah sends rain, so it keeps our rivers and our dams full and flowing with fresh water.
Amen, inshallah. Luqman, jazakumullah so much this morning for your time. Allah Rabbu Azza reward you, inshallah. And we'll speak to you next week, Saturday morning.
I think next week we're going to be at the dam. That's what he said.
Well, we were planning. In actual fact, we were planning to go this weekend, but we had to abort the trip. So we... delaying it for next week. Let's see. Inshallah, we get better weather next week.
Well,
inshallah, Allah make it easy.
Amen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Mulana,
28 minutes to 9. Adil?
I was saying I've got a brain of the day for today.
Mm.
Because we haven't listened to our listeners for a very long time. I'm worried whether we still have any listeners out there, you know.
Plenty of them. Okay, so let's throw the question out. We got Brother Farooq Hassan with us in the studio this morning. Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Farooq, it's a long time that you came in the studio and you chose a perfect weekend actually to do this.
It seems like every time I choose the days, it's the rainy days. Alhamdulillah, we'll be here today. Just preferred to have been here. It's a little sometimes
different.
Very different from being on the phone.
Make a difference, yeah.
I did, you know, before we were speaking, now we're speaking about the rain. I don't know, Farooq, maybe you can even speak about it. But I see early on one of the groups you posted also about the Kruger Park being very dry. I hear Durban as well, they're saying that waters are very low. They said that if the rain zone comes soon enough, they were going to put some more sort of water restrictions on it.
Gee, Durban has been a bit in the news with water restrictions, especially not just Durban, but the entire Natal coast. Alhamdulillah, hopefully that this rain will bring some relief. There's been some rain a few weeks back, and it has brought a little bit of temporary relief in the Natal area. coming back to what we mentioned about the Kruger, we've been there last week, and you can see the effects of very little rain last season, which is taking its toll now through the winter months. And generally, the Kruger receives its rain later on in the summer months as compared to when we receive it. We start getting our rain now, September, early, October, early. And Kruger starts getting, or the Lowveld rather, starts getting their rain a little bit later. And alhamdulillah, they have received a little bit. Hopefully, it's enough to turn the grass a bit green. I must tell you that the bush is very sparse. Normally, very dense bush where you can't see through. Visibility is normally restricted in the winter months to about 100 meters. Now you can see much further than that. I must say that we managed to see a lot of Nyala in the south of the park around the Skukuza area, which is not normally seen because they're normally in very dense bush. So because the felt is so dry and so very little leaves on the trees, it's very, very easy to spot animals in the distance. And you can see this by the way the elephants are ravaging the trees. There's just not enough food for them. And in some of the animals, you can actually see the dry season taking its toll on their condition, which we noticed in some of the elephants as well. Remember, one day, inshallah, we can talk about elephants, how they sustain their bulk. They eat a lot, so there is actually very little food for them. And yeah, we can see the dry season taking its toll on them.
So, in terms of sightings, it will be better for sightings, am I correct?
Alhamdulillah, it's very good for sightings now because the bush is very, like I said, open, very sparse, it's very open, so you can see very far. Generally, the trees on the side tend to camouflage or tend to cover the sightings, so you don't see very far. Now, animals tend to remain where there is water. In the wet seasons, there's a lot of water in the bush, so they don't move very far or very far off. Now they tend to stay closer to permanent water sources, or from there they start moving to feed. Something we've noticed, that there are quite a few dams and water holes that have dried up, so they move now to where there's a larger water source. And if you're around that water source, there's a very good chance of you seeing animals. Remember, they have to come down to drink, which is normally mostly early mornings or late afternoons, which is a very good chance to spot the animals. And those looking for predators know that the animals have to drink, so they tend to remain close to the water source. So a good chance of seeing lion, yes, if you can be in the vicinity of a good water source at the moment.
I see nowadays with this, with Twitter and these type of things, like, so much easier if you follow them. Like, you can just get to the spot directly, see the animal, and move on from there.
It's very common now, and it's very easy to find where things are. But
I think the fun is in looking for it.
The fun is in looking for it. Now you're relying on the visibility or the vision of others to get your sightings, you know. So I mean, there are a lot of people that will drive around looking for cars where there's a lot of cars in an area. They know there's something, so they'll stop there and capitalize on that sighting of somebody else's.
Farooq, last weekend you guys went out. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what the whole trip was about, and you know, sort of like what it is that you guys did on the trip?
Okay, Ziaril, I've been away, alhamdulillah, for a week. We had two trails down at Sand River Bush Camp, which we normally discuss. We always talk about it. And we had two different groups. The one group came in last week Sunday. They left on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the next group came in and they left on Sunday. So what happens here is, as we've discussed, Sand River Bush Camp is a camp probably about 15 to 20 kilometers away from Skukuza, whereby we house the group of eight people. And from there, they go out every morning. We drive out to a different walking area, and we walk for about between 3 to 4 hours. We get back to the vehicle, we come back to camp, have an afternoon at leisure, and then in the afternoon we go on a drive till about after Maghrib. Sometimes the guys are up to it, we do a short walk in the afternoon, otherwise we just stand at a waterhole or at a nice outlook point and see whatever we can view from there. And I think we've got one of the guests that were with us on the line, Brother Ismail. Perhaps we can just give him an opportunity to discuss, and then later on, inshallah, we'll be getting hold of another brother, Anwar, who will give us a rundown on his experience. I think it would be good, guests or listeners would like to rather hear from somebody that has been on the trail relating to their experiences. Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Brother Farooq?
Alhamdulillah, you smile.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum to the rest of the panel.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ismail sounds excited.
Ismail's always been excited since he got to the camp.
Since last week, Farooq, the excitement hasn't abated yet. And I think that will tell you a lot about the trip that we had, Farooq. It was truly an enjoyable experience. Something that I think you will remember for a long time to come, you know. And I just think that you know that the honorary rangers and yourself, Farooq and Faiz, allowed us to experience the African bush in a way which many people don't get to experience the African bush.
Ismail, first question: what was the highlight of your trip?
Indeed, the highlight of the trip was coming quite close to a white rhino. We were within 3 meters of the white rhino on our first walk on the first morning. And I must say that with us being very inexperienced, I mean, we felt very, very safe coming to it within that distance of a white rhino because of the professionalism of Farooq and the co-guide Faisal.
Excellent. And then what sort of emotion goes through you looking at an animal that you know is sort of one of South Africa's most endangered species?
Yeah, I think at that time, I mean, a lot of mixed emotions because you, being a novice or somebody who's not used to walking in the bush, that you're very unsure, you're a bit nervous. You not know how that animal is going to react. I mean, I think there's that excitement. So there's lots of mixed emotions, but you need to also keep your emotions in check and listen to the instructions. I mean, Farooq and his colleague made it very clear to us that at all times, you know, you just listen to them and you follow the instructions. And if you can keep a cool head, then you will really enjoy the experience, you know, to its fullest.
Gisel, overall in the trip, for the days or the amount of walk that people went out, those animals that stood out for you, that you always looked forward to seeing on a trip like this here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for our trip, can you speak for ours? I mean, the game viewing wasn't the best, you know, and that's the nature of the African bush. It's very, very unpredictable. I mean, even if you're driving in a car in the Kruger, you can go on for hours and not see anything. Mm. But I think you need to be very open minded about what you want to experience. You know, yes, the rhino was good. We also came across a breeding herd of elephant, but we kept our distance from that breeding herd of elephant for obvious reasons. And we saw some peace game, but the peace game, obviously, you know, you may see from within 100 meters, and if you walk towards them, you may get to about 50 meters, and they were all scattered. But Farooq made it very enjoyable, because there's lots of information about the plant life, the tree life, the insect life, and you need to be open about enjoying those aspects of the African bush as well. It's not only about seeing the big five, you know.
Definitely. There's so much more in the bush to witness the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely.
You know, taking a walk through the bush is very different to being in a car.
Yes.
Because now you're basically, all your senses are heightened, you've got, you know, you're even relying on your sense of smell, your sight is so much more advanced, you know. And I think the thing that you just pointed out now was the fact that having the experience of the rangers there with you, you start to even enjoy the little things. Give us some of the highlights of the smaller things that you've witnessed while you were out in the bush.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't remember all the terminology as such, but I mean, just the insect life and the phases that an insect goes through and how they lay their eggs and how those eggs develop as it goes from a pharaoh can correct me whether it's from a pupa to this to that. I mean, you walk past a tree, okay, and you may just think a tree is a tree, but the amount of insect life that's in that tree, I mean, it's actually remarkable. Also, he explained to us the termite mounds, and which also came as a request from one of our fellow walkers, but the complexity and the intricacy in the building of a termite mound, it's remarkable, you know. It's just to sit and to listen to that amount of detail, and then you realize, you realize the power of Allah and how Allah controls all or every aspect of life on this earth. It's truly remarkable.
Excellent. And in terms of the hospitality of the Rangers, let's put them on the spotlight now.
No, fantastic. No doubt. I mean, we were well looked after. We were well catered for. Farouk and Faisal have a support staff at the camp, made up of Uncle Harun, Yusuf Dokrat, and others, who took care of our every need. The attention to detail was very, very precise. Before the camp, we were asked what little niceties we would enjoy, and that was taken care of. And one of the other highlights, I must say, and I don't think many people, Farouk, excuse me, but I have to say this, but one of the other highlights we really enjoyed was enjoying hot samosas on the sand river on Saturday afternoon. I don't think many, many people can say that they have been privileged to that type of an experience. I mean, we were truly, truly privileged and indebted to Farouk for that experience. And to Uncle Harun and Yusuf and his colleagues.
Ismail, you're setting the bar very high. Everybody's going to expect hot samosas.
I mean, no. We can't drop the standards now.
Ismail, jazakallah.
Not a problem.
Allah reward you for giving your time and sharing your experience with the listeners. And we hope to spend time again with you.
Inshallah. And also, Farouk, thank you for allowing us the opportunity. And I also hope that the Joburg South region of the Honorary Rangers grows from strength to strength. Mm-hmm. And you get many more volunteers and many more members to your organization.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa
rahmatullah. Adil.
Yeah.
Will we have you on some Muslims today even in the studio?
Don't say that, please.
Yeah.
You know what? That's not right.
What hot samosas and coffee we're having
you guys? Are you serious? did it come in a thermos flask? In a bush picnic basket? But that's how I would picture Farouk bringing something.
No, this is freshly made.
Ay, 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 ay.
Why is it the topics always go towards the food?
I think everything leads towards food. Everything leads towards food. Adil? Adil?
Yes, I'm here.
You plan to go fishing this weekend, right?
Sure, I don't think so.
No, I said you planned initially.
I plan to go fishing every weekend, alhamdulillah. But it doesn't always work out like that.
It doesn't always materialize. Okay, we got another guest, Brother Farouk.
We've got Brother Anwar from Durban on the line, who was with us on the trail as well, on the trail prior to the one that Ismail was with us on. Anwar, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Farouk, and thanks for having me on the air. Speaking to you from a bright and sunny Durban beachfront. So eat your hearts out. Nothing better than doing a jog on the Durban beachfront on a Saturday morning. Lovely weather as well.
You have to rub that in, don't you?
Is Brother Anwar from Durban?
Anwar is from Durban, Jay.
Brother Anwar, how's the weather there about?
We're having a lovely winter's sunny day. I believe Johannesburg is quite cold, but you guys are welcome to come down to Durban and boost our economy. I've been out jogging this morning on the Durban beachfront to whet your appetite. Sorry, excuse the pun, but it's a lovely, lovely day in Durban today.
You're just making us jealous for nothing now. So last week you were in the bush and this week you're sitting on the beach.
Absolutely.
Now tell us a little bit about that bush experience.
The bush experience was brilliant. It was my second time doing the trail with Farouk. This time we decided for our sins to take our wives with us. We didn't know how the woman would react to the trail. They absolutely loved it. Can't stop talking about it. Half of Durban heard about it already through our wives. You know what? I don't know where to start, but it was absolutely wonderful. I would strongly advocate it to anybody that wants to learn anything about the bush, wants to see animals. Mm. I don't think I'll ever enjoy doing a drive in my car through the Kruger National Park ever again after experiencing what we did. You know, be it from the animals that we saw to the aspects of nature conservation that Farooq so well explained to us that together with Adil. It was just the learning experience, and I wish I can take my kids along to a trail like this sometime in the future. The biggest problem is, and maybe I can twist Farooq's arm, is to get onto a future trail, because he's got so few trails and so many people that want to go onto the trails.
I suppose the demand is so high for it, yes.
The demand is high. You shouldn't be advertising this on the radio, because you just heighten the demand. So
plus more now that they've introduced samosas, hot samosas on the trail, it's going to get even better.
I'm telling you, we were actually surprised, because when we got to our trail on the, I know we had a long drive from Durban. We broke it up along the way, alhamdulillah, but still it was a long drive. And when we got to camp on the first afternoon, to be greeted by hot samosas, and a variety of hot samosas at that, was beyond any of our expectations. And I mean, really, I think the highlight for us were two highlights. One was getting, I think, up to about 60 meters on foot. To four male lions. I mean, that was absolutely wonderful. And I must give credit to Farooq and Adil, especially Farooq, in that he takes you up close, but by the same time, I think with the knowledge and experience that he had, he knows where the safety factor is, although one can't predict how animals will react. But to be standing 60 meters away from four adult male lions on foot, I think that was a thrill and an adrenaline rush like you can't experience. And then, let's share a bit of a humorous story with you. On the second morning, we were out walking, and we stopped for our morning breakfast with a little pack that they so lovingly prepared for us with the juice and the energy bar and things. And I wanted to relieve myself, so Adil took me along to a safe spot, and what we thought was a safe spot. And there I was doing my toilet thing, and I hear a rumbling in the bushes just behind me. I didn't know whether I should be pulling my pants up or just running for cover. but there was a huge elephant that nobody had seen, that was literally just behind us. And alhamdulillah, Farooq then decided to take us in kind of to see this elephant, get a closer view. And we got to, I think, 15 meters to this huge big adult male elephant, and Farooq keeps saying, "Stand and don't move, stand and don't run." And I was ready to run, and so was the rest of the group. But then he so nicely explained to us later that, you know what, if you show fear, and the elephant will come at you, but if you stand your ground, the chances are the elephant will you know, kind of walk away, which is exactly what happened. So yeah, some exhilarating moments, seeing leopards walking right beside us on the open vehicle, and we saw three leopards. We were absolutely fortunate to have done that. Packs of wild dogs, I mean, I can go on. We really had a wonderful trip. But more than that, it was about learning about the nature. Our wives learned a hell of a lot about nature. To understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan about everything, that, you know, everything is planned to perfection. And man wants to interfere, and man wants to do things, thinking he's doing it in the best interest of the environment, but actually causing more destruction. One gets to appreciate our deen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much more just by being out in the bush. And that to me was just the cherry on the top.
Subhanallah. I remember at that time when you saw the elephant, if you move, you would have went to toilet again.
I'm unfortunately a bit of a runner, so I kind of worked out in my mind that as long as I can be in front of the slowest person, I'll be okay.
I one thing I'm always amazed about, Mulana, and you can bear witness, and even Farooq, that every time somebody comes on air and talks about their experience on these walking trails, they must talk about how they have now seen the greatness of Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, definitely.
And I think that's such an important thing, because when we go out, whether it's fishing or we go to the bush or we go wherever, our intention must always be that we are going for the purpose of recognizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the intention. And inshallah, like that also, Mulana will correct me if I'm wrong, but it sort of becomes an ibadah as well.
Oh yes, no doubt.
No doubt,
100%. Anyway, jazakumullah for your time this morning. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. The fact is that, I'm not blowing anybody's trumpet, but having somebody like Farooq with you on the trail, who you know, you read your salahs on time, very importantly, and you're relating whatever, and he can relate whatever we sing back to Quran and back to the, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where, you know, Quran, he talks about creation and all of that. Maulana is more well-versed on this than I am, so I'm not even going to go there. But bottom line is that, yes, the appreciation for nature, appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much more. And I tell you what, you know, we were deciding, you know, should we go on an all-boys trip, but should we take our wives with us? And the woman absolutely loved it. I mean, they, as I said, I think half of Durban's heard about it, and everybody is just keen to go on this trip again. So a different holiday, something absolutely unique, but I must take my hats out to the honorary rangers and the Johannesburg South region in particular for giving us this opportunity to experience what we have experienced.
Definitely.
Jazakallah for that. Mentioning that, if I could just share with Maulana and with Adil, Anwar has mentioned that he's a bit of a runner. Mm. I think he's a bit of a big runner. He's actually, Anwar has completed the comrades 20 times, am I right, Anwar?
Well, Farooq, 19. I'm inshallah, next year will be my 20th. And make dua, inshallah, that goes well. As you get older, you tend to slow down a bit, but yeah, I'm keeping at it.
Inshallah, Allah make it easy for you. Jazakallah for your time, and Allah reward you for sharing your experience with the listeners.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So you mean to say that basically that elephant didn't have a chance?
You heard what he said. I liked what he said. He said as long as he was in front of the slowest runner, he was safe.
That's generally what the guys say. As long as you're not the slowest, you got a chance of survival. Yeah.
But I don't know if you hear that part. You know how everybody comes and emphasizes about the samosas thing.
I don't know. Looks like this is. But now you're telling me he brought for
you. No. I was just wishing also in my heart, like it, because I'm just hearing all these guys are just talking about it. Yeah.
Well, if you guys want it, you're going to have to come along and share the experience.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
I think we need to go along, Maulana, as
and do this first hand.
Your crew, you know, and do a program on this, like a documentary, inshallah.
First hand we can do. We'd have to walk around with a signal booster, the only problem.
That's also true. No, but I think maybe if we go with recording devices, like how we did it once with the fishing trip.
Possible.
And then we'll come back and play the old recording. That's actually exciting. Farooq, maybe even next time when you guys go out, even though you don't have signal, you know, just a little bit of a small snippet or two here and there, it makes a big difference to hear what the sounds of the bush are like.
And then when the bush rumbles and things like that.
You know, to be very honest, when things happen, it happens so fast that you don't even think about. The first thing you think about is getting everybody to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times when some guys are more. When I talk about guys, I talk about those walking. They want that photo and they want that video, and sometimes it compromises the safety of the group. Mm-hmm. So gee, when these things happen or when we see an animal approaching, the last thing you think about is take out the video camera or talk
record.
About or give some commentary. You sit and you look at the animal and you try and read its mood, first of all, to see what's going to happen, and you try and anticipate what would happen if it picks up your presence. It's very difficult to know or to judge what that animal would do at a close call. Like Ismail mentioned, the rhino at about 3 meters, that rhino was feeding or walking towards us. So had we moved, we would have definitely picked up our presence, and the situation would have been very different. So we got everybody behind a bush, and as he fed, he probably started walking. We only noticed him from about 25, 30 meters away, and he approached. And there was basically one little bush separating us from this rhino. And Hamdai was very comfortable with our presence. We just tried to attract his attention a little bit to make it known that we are there. As soon as he looked up and he realized that we are there, he ran off to about 30, 40 meters away, and then turned around to see what happened, what was this all about.
Ew.
Similarly, with the elephant, he was feeding very gracefully, and we approached from behind. He didn't pick up our presence at all. I think somebody might have rustled a bush or something, and then he turned around and realized that we are standing there. So he looked first now to see what our reaction would be, and generally with elephants, they first try and intimidate you and see what your reaction is. So they tend to lift their heads up and open their ears and make themselves look big, you know. And if you just stand and show them, listen, I'm not afraid of you, then they shake their head and try and, like, you know, with that sound that the ears slap against the head. That's now an intimidating sort of intimidating you and telling you, listen, yeah, this is what I can do.
Sure.
So alhamdulillah, everybody stood there, everybody listened, nobody moved, nobody budged, and he realized now that we're not moving, and he turned around and he moved off, alhamdulillah.
Well, it was becoming interesting again, unfortunately. I see this guy on Samika's news headlines again. We've just got a few seconds left for the 9 o'clock news. Farooq, jazakumullah for joining us this morning in studio. It was really, really interesting.
I mean, I would have liked to share some experience about what we see, the effects of summer coming in, but inshallah we can talk about it in the next week, in the next program. Jazakallah for having us, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi. Adil?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, and to all our wonderful listeners, enjoy your weekend, cold weekend.
At home in the bed.
It will get better, don't worry.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Streaming reels on Radio Islam is casting you into the exciting world of fishing. Screaming Reels was sponsored by Solly's Angler's Corner, your fishing tackle specialist. Call us at Johannesburg on 011-493-1848 and four ways on 011-465-2937.